Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
News Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you've already been here, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You might want to buckle your seatbelt. sometimes we're in for a pretty rough ride around here. Sometimes it's a little bumpy, but it's always fun. And one of the guys who makes it fun, helps us make it fun, is a guy named Rick Pinion. Rick is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's our financial planning expert in the Brain Trust, and he's the president and founder of Pinion Financial Services out of beautiful downtown Bethesda, Maryland, which, as you know, is hard by to our nation's capital. And more importantly, Rick's our friend. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And folks, as you know what we have to do when Rick joins us. As I like to say, most of us operate in the world of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. But Rick is a financial expert. He's a registered representative, and working in the securities world, he has to operate in the world of full disclosure, and therefore he has a little 1 minute soliloquy he needs to tell us about. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, thank you, Jim. I just want to let the listeners know that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Listeners should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG, SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and AIG SunAmerica are not directly related. Thank you very much.
And people wonder why financial planners don't have groupies, Rick. I don't understand that.
Rick, we have court here.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen. And Rick, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is the concept of asset allocation with our investments, and as we're doing our financial planning. Every time you join us, you help us to look at a different element, a different component of our financial planning process. And today you want to talk about asset allocation. Why don't you go ahead and give us for those who it might not be so intuitive tell us exactly what that is.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, just as a little story, a lot of times people come into my office, you know, that want to go through the financial planning process, and they bring in their statements, you know, their confirmation statements from where they're investing now. And I ask them if they've developed any strategy in terms of all these assets, or I ask them who's coordinating all these things. And they look at me with kind of a blank look. And I take a look at the statements, and I see where they've kind of thrown or shoveled things in there with little rhyme or reason. And so they really have not developed what we call an asset allocation model. And to me, asset allocation is a process. It's a process of allocating your investments, your capital, to different diverse asset classes. And what we're trying to do, Jim, is we're trying to maximize returns within a person's specific risk tolerance. You know, some people are a lot more conservative than others. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of our clients are, you know, baby boomers, aging baby boomers, who don't have the luxury of a recovery period in case the market should drop suddenly. They don't have the time to sit around and wait for it to recover again. So to me, asset allocation is more of a rational system of managing, you know, portfolio risk through diversification. But at the same time, we're not really compromising our potential, you know, return. But as any method, and I just want to make this clear, Jim, as any method, it's not guaranteed. In other words, asset mm-hmm. allocation doesn't guarantee a gain. It doesn't prevent a loss. It's just a tool or a technique that
right.
planners use.
You know, you were talking about the timing issue of folks if a market turns down. I remember back in the early 90s, a couple of the big companies were having a tough time. Their stock went down, and their employees had been so vested in that company that they really took a hit, those that were retired. You know, I remember many, many years ago, and I'm talking, you know, more than 30 years ago, I was with Sears, and my, you know, 100% of our retirement was in Sears stock.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, you know, I bought some Sears stock. I should say they bought it for me as high as $100. Well, within 5 or 6 years, it was less than half of that. And so, thankfully, I wasn't about to retire, but there were a bunch of Sears people who thought they were going to retire doing pretty well, and their income was cut in half. And then, as you know, we had the dot-bomb business that happened in the late 90s. A lot of people thought they were going to retire rich. Well, if they didn't get out early enough, they are not going to retire rich, are they? And so that's what you're talking about, is spreading the asset allocation, is spreading the risk over a lot of different areas, so that if you have a peak or a valley, you know, it's not as dramatic as if you aren't doing the proper planning. We're going to come right back and talk to Rick Pinion some more about asset allocation and how it affects your own financial plan right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame here in Chicago to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion. We're talking about asset allocation. Rick, when somebody comes into your firm, Pinion Financial Services, and brings you this hodgepodge of stuff, and it's clearly not very well done, what's the first thing you do?
Well, Jim, I do it the old-fashioned way. First of all, I gather the information. I give the person a psychological test, almost like a pop quiz, a series of questions designed to help me figure out what their risk tolerance is. You know, are they aggressive or moderate or conservative? And then I proceed to try to pull these together and make a list of all their assets and put together a model. It's almost like a model, like what an architect would do when they're building a house. It's like a blueprint showing right where their current assets are positioned. And so I show them a present model, and then I show them a recommended model where the thing, in my opinion, where the assets should be deployed. So it's a little bit like baking a cake. It's the what's the proper mix? You know, if you put too much sugar or water into the cake, you know what happens to the cake. And we've got the same dilemma here when it comes to asset classes. So I've got to divide those among, you know, equities or stock, income-producing assets, or what we call fixed income or bonds, as well as cash and money market funds. And I think many people come to me because they're not really sure how to put this model together. And I think that's where I add value to the relationship.
You know, Rick, earlier this week, Chuck Cadlick was on the show. You're familiar with the Seligman funds, and Chuck is one of the principals of that organization that creates those funds, that provides those funds to people like you and the financial planners and investment advisors around the country. And he showed me a pretty interesting statistic that showed how much return the average person had made over the last, say, 10 years by when they were managing their own funds, their own money, doing their own stock picks and all that. And the average return was around 3.7%. Mm-hmm. At the same period, the S&P, all by itself, if they'd just been staying pretty consistent with the S&P, was doing like 14 or 15%.
Right.
And so it showed that it dramatized really how an amateur investor, what a poor job they do when they're managing their own funds. And of course his angle was a mutual fund helps you do that. And of course your angle is, and I agree with this, not only those kinds of products, but a professional helping you manage even those kinds of products is what most people need.
Exactly. You see, people let their emotions get in the way of logic when it comes to investing. You know, there's an old saying that fear and greed move the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, the market has a mind of its own. And it's not like many other things we do in society. For example, if your child comes home with a report card and it's straight A's, chances are that child's going to replicate that and be an A student, you know, for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But on the market, on the other hand, something could be really good today and be really cold tomorrow. And so, therefore, we have to rely on the experts to help us. And those lifestyle funds that you had mentioned, that Mr. Cadillac had mentioned.
Right, uh-huh.
Those are the type of funds whereby we pick a target date into the future for either education for a child or for retirement, and we have a professional manager manage those funds to meet that target date. So as we get closer, they tighten up the model and they make it a little bit more conservative as we get to our destination. And that's what a lifestyle fund is. But much like an airplane coming into an airport, it's not a straight down, you know, drop. It kind of rolls down. So it gradually tightens as we get closer to our destination. I've seen many lifestyle funds popping up in 401k plans. Mm-hmm. For the federal government to have in the thrift savings plan. So that's going to be something that we're going to look at.
So you recommend them then?
Well, not for everybody.
Right.
In other words, I think some people like to put together, just like building a house, they like to do a customized job. Other people, maybe a default button or these lifestyle funds are better than doing nothing. It depends on the person and their comfort level.
Right. Well, the idea behind the ones that I've seen is that basically they feel like the older you are, the more risk you can take. So the more you're invested in equities, and the less you're invested in guaranteed income like treasuries, and corporate bonds. And the older you get, the more closer you get to retirement, the ratio shifts to less risk and more stability.
Right. And my only point there is that we should match up these lifestyle funds with a person's risk profile.
Right.
So, for example, if a person is very aggressive, even though they're older, then maybe these lifestyle funds may not be appropriate for them. Again,
right.
I think professional judgment is very, very important in terms of should a person choose these or not.
Well, your point is well taken, that you know everybody is different,
right.
and that's where you a guy like you comes in, a financial planner comes in to help people to find you look at all the array of products and services that are available, all the different opportunities out there, and you match those up with the plan of that person. I mean, if they're ill. If they're very healthy, if they've got small children or to depend upon them, or maybe a parent or something like that, they have a lot of different requirements, don't they?
Yeah. So in other words, if I, as a practicing financial planner, were to put everybody in lifestyle funds, I would lose my license because that's not really appropriate for everybody.
Right.
My size doesn't fit all.
Right.
So
right.
It has its place.
Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Pinion. And his website is pinionfinancial.com, right, Rick?
Yes, www.pinionfinancial.com.
He and I will be right back after these messages. Tim Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
You don't know what you got until it's gone. And I found out a little too higher.
We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out my blog at jimsblog.biz or from the homepage. And don't forget all the other outstanding resources that you can find on our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Archives an incredible body of work that Rick Pinion has deposited with us over the last several years. Rick, thank you for that. Folks, there are dozens of archives of past shows that you can go back and listen to. If you want to learn a lot about financial planning, it's all right there, from Social Security to insurance to dealing with financial planners to how to hire a financial planner. It's all right there on our website. And Rick, again, thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, Jim. In fact, speaking of Social Security, I think next month when we have our show, we might want to talk about this new Part D that's coming out for Social Security.
All right.
A lot of people may be interested in that.
All right. That's you got something to look forward to there, folks. That's next month. Okay, we're talking about asset allocation. What are some other things we need to know about asset allocation to make sure that we've got the maximum opportunity to be successful with our financial plan?
Well, that's a good point, Jim. In fact, one of the things we want to incorporate when we do our asset allocation is what we call periodic rebalancing. So to draw an analogy, it's like, for example, let's suppose you have a row of hedges in front of your house,
mm-hmm.
and you want to trim those hedges every so often. Well, we try to do the same thing with investments. If something spikes up, you know, as human beings, we have a tendency to let it continue riding up, which may be a mistake. We want to kind of trim those outperformers, those high performers, and reallocate those resources towards the weaker ones. So that way we're selling when it's high, and we're buying things when they're at a bargain level.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is one of the ways to build wealth. potential wealth is by constantly rebalancing. Now, we can do that on, say, a quarterly basis or every 6 months or a year, but as long as we accomplish that, we're keeping our percentages the way that we originally intended.
I've been told that the average investor gets in and out more at the wrong time than at the right time.
Yeah, because think about it. Everything else we do in life follows a pattern or has some sort of, you know, logic to it. And when it comes to investments, people say, well, gee, if this is doing so badly, let's just get rid of it. And they get rid of it at the wrong time.
Right.
And it's human nature. I mean, that's the biggest battle that I fight, the psychological overrides that people have that messes up their investment strategy.
Right, right.
I'm not sure how we cure it. It's
well, I think one thing is, I think maybe part of it, Rick, is maybe an ignorance that people have about financial planners. You know what I mean? If they had more, which is something I hope you and I are doing, is to get them, make them familiar and comfortable with having somebody to help them. Maybe they think that it's too expensive. Who knows? Because, you know, they don't know what it costs. You and I've talked about that before. The thing is, you know, the only thing that's more expensive than the cost of success is the cost of failure.
And also, when you think about it, most of the problems that we have in society, including this one we're dealing with financial planning, can be cured through education.
Mm-hmm.
Education is such a magic bullet when it comes to solving these problems, having an understanding of how these things work. And that's part of the reason for the radio show,
right,
is to communicate these ideas so that maybe those of you out there listening might pick up one or two ideas this morning which are probably could shape the rest of your financial life.
If I'm listening out there right now, Rick, and I hear you talking about asset allocation, and I say, yeah, I think I need to be focusing more on asset allocation. How do I convey that to my financial planner, my investment advisor? How do I make sure that person is helping me with that?
Well, I guess by asking the right questions. In other words, I would ask the question to your financial professional in terms of what methods have you put into place to protect my investments by utilizing the proper tools of asset allocation and diversification and percentages between equities and income-producing investments. By asking strategic questions, what you're kind of doing is making sure that you're sitting on the same side of the table as your investment professional. And if they can't come up with some pretty good answers to those questions, then I would seriously try to either change that relationship or look for a new one. Because otherwise, whatever you have is at risk at that point.
Especially if you're a little bit long in the tooth, you got a few gray hairs, at least maybe you know about them if nobody else knows about them. You've got some gray hairs and you're heading, you know, towards midlife and beyond. You certainly need to be thinking about asset allocation. Thank you very much, Rick, for being here. We'll see you next month.
Sounds great.
Give us the website one more time.
Okay, www.pinionfinancial.com.
It's a great website, folks. I hope you'll check it out. It's a good, important website for you to know about. Thank you, Rick. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.